Shri Sai Ram. Dearest Bhagwan, we, your children from the Prashanti Nilayam campus, offer at your lotus feet our humble attempt to unravel the journey of the self through a play titled Tripurantakam, A Journey of Transcendence. Through this offering, we seek to explore the three experiences of creation, sustenance, and dissolution, drawing a parallel with the legend of the Tripura Dahana. We are extremely grateful to you, Swami, for this opportunity to express our love for you.
My dear Arjuna, son,
my old heart brims with pride as I see the great man that you have become. I always said to Acharya Drona, your student will one day surpass us all. Time has now proved that I was correct.
My dear son, few are the fortunate teachers who see their exacting standards surpassed by their students.
The working of fate is beyond our thought.
That we are pitted in battle against you, bound by the noose of our own world.
Cruel is my fate, for it leaves me with no choice but to be the reason for the death of my own kith and kin. Is this the price I pay for justice?
Mere bachche.
Yes. This is the gratitude that you show. A fine offering indeed. Use that great skill of yours, your flaming arrows of justice, to stain your soul with the unforgiving regret of their blood.
Gratitude isn't a reason enough to resort to inaction, brata. He who has sinned has no right to escape its consequence. And no amount of righteous deeds performed can ever transform itself as a panacea.
Sin? Sin indeed. My side knows only one sinner, an archer, who stands ready to fight and even kill his own preceptors. Surely, the righteous Pandavas are above such petty matters of gratitude. Or are they?
Pick up your bow, Bhrata, and shun these elements that breed self-doubt. Remember the plight of Panchali. These men were silent witnesses to a heinous crime. And these are the sinners who still stand proud without an iota of remorse. Do they even deserve the compassion of your dharmic dilemma?
I am amazed that you will sacrifice lakhs of innocent lives, all for a display of vengeance that's aged more than a decade. What is this dharma you speak of? I see only a justifying ideal sprung from the well of revenge.
Ah, I pity your plight, Arjuna. How does it feel to be a slave to a cause that is shrouded by your intellect itself? How does it feel, O great Gandiva Dhari, when not just your ability to reason, but even your hand trembles under the weight of your own vengeance?
Vengeance as a motive for this war is no doubt adharma, Arjuna. But the same war, when fought with the sole intention of eliminating the ones who propitiate adharma and gifting justice to the tormented, reveals itself as the dharma of a true kshatriya.
What does the dice know of adharma? You have lost but fairly, and we only followed the rules agreed by all. Were we wrong? But you now seek to justify your violence in the cloak of responsibility.
This is the gratitude that you
vengeance
show.
Vengeance has a sign of
what is
one
does this dharma speak of?
Adharma, my eyes for having
injured pride. Madhav!
Would the fire of avengement ever give warmth to my soul? Is my mind playing tricks on me? Am I forcing a beguiling end on the pretext of dharma sthapana?
Par sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau tato yuddhaya yujasva naivam papam avapsyasi. He who fights a battle ready to welcome joy or sorrow, untainted by its gains or of its losses, devoid of any expectations, he, O Arjuna, shall be freed from the shackles of cause and effect.
But Madhav, this isn't like any other war, for the blood I spill would be that of my very own family. My grandsire, my brothers, my guru, my...
While you lament over the need to dissolve these physical relations acquired by this very birth, remember, everyone present here is a mere wave from the same ocean. You choose to see them with the many deceptive cloaks of identity they wear. Whereas I, Opar, I see only the soul, untainted, unperturbed, burning with the sole motive of reuniting with its divine self.
Madhav, if that is the truth, if we gain the knowledge that we are in this body, then where lies the importance of performing righteous actions at all? How could I not help but doubt the purpose of this war, O Vasudeva?
Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. All of this is but an inevitable design of my own creation. A creation where I am born and dissolved. And yet, I am older than the universe itself. I am no different from all of you. And yet I stand here as a sarathi, awaiting the moment when you'd realize that the chariot and the charioteer are one and the same. Who are you, Parth? And who am I?
O Master, after seeing the Vishwarupa of the Lord, why did Arjuna still fall back into the trap of mortal experience? This deepens my confusion. Who am I in God's creation?
A wise question indeed, my son. To know who you are, you must first understand this world you attach yourself to. Only in inquiring into its nature and knowing its truth, you may step closer to who you are.
Guruji, I recall the words of Yama to Nachiketa on the knowledge of the self at the gates of transcendence. Know the self as Lord of the chariot, the body as the chariot itself, the discriminating intellect as the charioteer, and the mind as the reins. So, what then is the true purport of this creation, Master?
You are indeed so well read, my child. You know the theory, but lack the vision of what to see. Kurukshetra is but an allegory to the cosmos. The many characters on either side in the battle all symbolize a composition of three gunas: Sattva, Rajas and Tamas.
Pardon me, Guruji, but I have a pressing thought that troubles me at this juncture. How do the gunas forge this creation? Have they arisen from God Himself? If so, then what is His role in the story of the self?
My child, God is but a direction. Looking outward, we get lost in the world. But turning inward to God, we see only the absolute. And so the world began, when the self felt its first desire. Let me unravel its origins in the story of Tripura Dahana. It all began when the three sons of Tarakasura resolved to attain immortality through intense penance. The three sons, symbolizing the three gunas, attained a supreme mirror to raise three worlds of consciousness and contrived all of the universe in the assimilation of the five elements.
Every single fiber of my being burns with the humiliation that we have faced. I cannot forget the fall of our father, the decimation of our clan, and the end of our empire. All staged by those vile Devas. I cannot waste a moment of life till I earn my vengeance on those treacherous denizens of the heavens.
I too eagerly await the day when we shall vanquish the Devas. All I desire is to see their pride trampled, their dominion over the world ended.
But this tempestuous anger and empty dreams will only inflict self-harm, brothers.
Let our desire now fuel our determination, not rage.
We have already traveled this far, seeking the seclusion of these mountains. Come forth, clear your mind of these embers of spite. Let us make our purpose a resolve that drives our quest. We need to only propitiate the Creator, and then we shall become the unchallenged authors of our own fate.
You both speak wisely, even in the face of all the anguish that clouds our reason.
Indeed. Who or what authority across the seven worlds will dare stand before us once we have achieved our objective?
I shall restrain my fury for now. But when our time beckons...
Let us now begin our austerities with a single-minded focus. No Deva shall ever be able to disturb us.
The three attributes of desire resolve to conquer the five elements, unyielding in their efforts, absorbed in their penance. Neither the mightiest storm nor the strongest gale could shake their resolve. The heat of the sun and the frozen winds of winter did not budge their determination by even a hair's breadth.
Arise, my children. Your supreme efforts have borne fruit. You have earned my presence here in your unwavering penance. Ask of me anything you desire, and it shall be granted.
My Lord, your divine form is the panacea to all our pains. I speak on behalf of my brothers. My ancestors have time and again faced defeat and destruction at the hands of the Devas. Let us not remain mere lingering echoes subject to the same legacy. Grant us immortality, O Lord.
But O steadfast sons, immortality lies beyond the limits of this nature, unto which you are bound. Pray for anything other than that, and it shall be implicitly granted.
Then grant us this, O Lord: three magnificent fortresses of gold, silver, and iron that span the earth, space, and heavens. Let them be indestructible, but for an instant. Let this chance occur once in 1,000 years when they align.
And even then, only by a single arrow that pierces them all at once.
In addition, O Lord, let a pool be created therein, which revives the dead and rejuvenates all those who bathe in its waters.
Strange is the boon you all seek, and yet it is rightfully yours. Let Mayasura, the unrivaled architect, be the maker of these fortresses. O Maya, come hither.
Pranams, O Lord. What can I, Mayasura, offer to you, the creator himself?
Build for the sons of Taraka three mighty fortresses. One on the earth, another that flies in the air, and one in the regions beyond, with the pond within, whose bottomless pit knows no finality. This
I ordain of thee. As you command, my Supreme Lord.
Let the three fortresses sparkle, unrivaled by any edifice known, O Maya. Let these befit the rulers of the three worlds.
I see you have the glory of the Asuras in mind, young one. I shall do your bidding gladly. I will build you three fortresses that shall surpass Devaloka itself. They shall be the envy of all, a testament to our power and strength. Yes, I shall create Tripura!
Few events in time match the creation of Tripura in its glory. The gods looked on in wonder as Mayasura carved out three impregnable fortresses. Dazed, they marveled at the skill, finesse, and genius of Maya. As they stood transfixed, fear bloomed quietly in their hearts. The birth of the three cities would make these seekers of power invincible. The Asuras had already exacted half of their vengeance.
Asuras is complete and awaits its masters.
How I have dreamt of this moment when I can discard all weaknesses and ascend to power. Come hither, my brothers. We stand at the cusp of a new dawn that belongs only to us. It is time for our rule.
I now understand how this creation happened, how the self layered itself in three. But Guruji, I have always wondered why, even after a penance of that length, a mortal only chases after the desire rather than its giver.
Would a self that associates with the nature of the relative ever chase the absolute?
Oh Master, that leads me to ask, when all of this creation is born of God's blessings, then what is the root of its impermanence? Why does identity wither? Why does beauty wrinkle? Why does such a magnificent creation fade? Isn't it unfortunate that nothing is eternal?
That is the perception of the observer, child. This ephemeral experience is but an illusory mirror to the self. For the seeker to rise beyond his attachment to the seen and realize he is the witness. Realization begins when the mind that sees the change asks, what is the changeless?
Guruji, then what sustains this creation? What is the principal code that governs the rise and fall of all the myriad matter and thought?
The only code to sustenance is righteousness. So long as one conforms to this principle that keeps the nature and the identity in harmony, there will be peace. One clasp of any of the six vices and chaos would reign. Pay heed to this tale of the mighty Kartavirya Arjuna that illustrates the fall of a supreme monarch who succumbed to his pride.
The ashram of Maharshi Chamadagni was hosting an unusual guest. King Kartavirya Arjuna, bestowed with the boon of 1,000 arms, was enjoying the hospitality of the sage. Little did he know that this event would mark the beginning of the fall of the proud king.
Oh revered sage, I must confess, this feast has put even the royal preparations to shame. Your generous hosting has satiated the wildfires of hunger, haunting my entire entourage. But my prancing curiosity makes me wonder how this humble hermitage of yours could conjure up such empyrean delicacies that would inspire a craving even in the celestial realms.
Let your praise be heaped on the one who indeed deserves it, O Emperor. It is the divine grace of Mother Kamadhenu, the sacred cow conferred upon us by the heavens. It is her creative forces that have bequeathed these finest recipes you have partaken. She grants all wishes and fulfills the necessities of our sedate living. It is her altar that merits all offerings of our gratitude.
How surprising! This is indeed an unanticipated turn of events. A wish-fulfilling cow in the land under my ring? This certainly demands my intervention. Such a position rightly belongs to the king, rather than a dispassionate sage who thrives in a hermitage with frugal needs. I request you, O sage, to give me this divine cow to help me rule the three worlds without a worry. It can be of great service to the countless subjects under my rule. You shall be rewarded handsomely.
for your generous donation.
I understand your noble intentions, but I cannot concede to your request, O King. Kamadhenu is the lifeline of this hermitage, and without her presence, the completion that I seek in my sacred rituals shall never be attained. Desire anything else that your heart harbors.
Maharaj, do you see the impudence of a renunciant in front of the Royal Highness? Do not forget, O Sire, you are in the imperial presence of His Majesty, King Kartavirya Arjuna, whose glory blinds the three worlds, the one with thousand hands, who stopped the mighty river Narmada and humiliated even the great Ravana. His mere name renders enemies frozen to abject surrender. Don't even think of disobeying the royal command, for your welfare lies in your compliance.
It would do well to choose your words carefully, O Minister. A sage's wrath is not to be trifled with. I intend no disrespect to your Majesty, but giving up Kamadhenu, who is our very life breath here, lies beyond me. Heed my words and know that such desires do not befit a just ruler. It is wise that you give up the very thought of this unrighteous possession.
How dare you say no to the greatest emperor ever? Have my minister's words fallen on thy deaf ears? My conquests strike fear in the hearts of even the greatest gods. Perhaps you need a lesson on implicit obedience.
Senapati!
Soldiers, bind that cow in shackles and take her to the court. And if anyone dares to challenge this command, let them face the emperor's wrath.
As you command.
Please, have mercy on us. Do not take away our mother.
Step aside, or be stepped upon.
You dare not obstruct us as we fulfill the royal command.
Gurudev, please stop them. Our mother has been imprisoned and carted away from us. Her absence renders us crippled, and we shall be unable to offer our worship. Please do something, Gurudev. Let not inaction be the label we attach ourselves today. O Gurudev, please save Kamadhenu and all of us from these evil impostors.
Maharaj, our mission is complete. We have wrestled away Kamadhenu. With this jewel adorning your court, your name shall be the legend as the supreme monarch of all times. A thousand names shall be showered on you for your uncountable victories, scripted with your thousand hands and a fearless heart.
Do not commit this heinous act, O King. This greed of yours to covet something that doesn't belong to you shall only end in self-destruction. Listen to this advisement while time still serves your well-being.
Let not the bickering of these hermits ruffle our prowess. It's yet another victory to add to my glory. Let us return to the capital, where the citizens await to worship my aura that transcends the three worlds. Let every inch of this land be saturated with odes sung in my splendor. Thank you, sage Jamadagni, for your hospitality and such a wonderful gift.
My entire being burns with outrage as this separation consumes me. What use is such authority that inflicts torment on the silent? And while he plunders our only means, we pay the price of his selfishness. My heart knows no peace as my mind replays the atrocities committed by the monarch.
Maharishi, what could we do? The strength of our prayerful silence could not match that of his weapons. When the king himself discards the sacrosanct robe of justice, who do we turn to? Maybe surrender to fate is our only course of action.
These appalling acts of injustice make my heart bleed. Bhargava, Rama, where are you? Your father yearns for your presence in such troubled times.
Father?
Father, what has befallen you that has brought you to this state of suffering?
Tell me what it is, and I shall obliterate the source of your grief.
Tell me, Father. Tell me.
It is the sorry state of righteousness in this land, son. Kartavirya wrongfully stole Kamadhenu with power. And we watched those cruel hands seize that divine being. Now, only you can bring her back from those interlopers and quieten this raging storm that lashes on all our souls.
Father, rest assured, I shall avenge this crime. The king has crossed the lines of morality in this sinful act committed in arrogance. His diabolic exploits have earned him a crushing hand of consequence. Justice shall knock at his door today, and the king will answer. I promise you, Father, Kamadhenu shall return. Let the land tremble announcing my vow. Let the oceans lash my anger in their waves. Let the skies echo my war cries in their winds. Rama has lifted his parachute. Long has Mother Earth borne the burden of your arrogance. Consider this a final act of benevolence, as I give to you one opportunity to return Kamadhenu and wear that crown with repentance and humility. The prosperity of your clan lies in the acceptance of my terms, or else this axe shall chop away the hoofs of ego and pride along with that head.
A Brahmin threatening to kill me with an axe? I'm not sure what I should laugh at. A mere Brahmin speaking of killing me? Or the axe he wants to kill me with? The cow is now part of the imperial treasure that answers only to my whims. So forget your desire for her and walk away now. Leave now, O pretending seer, before my patience wears, and I decide to humor myself, toying with your very existence.
Kartavir Arjuna!
See my thousand arms that wait lips with hunger for vengeance!
You have crossed all bounds of righteous code. A thousand arms in service would have made you noble, but a thousand arms per battle shall make you a coward. It is time you face the justice you deserve for your tyranny. Nothing can protect you today from my swing of righteous deliverance. Prepare to greet your death, O proud king!
Now do you see the scales of time, dearest child? Consequences spare none. Even the mightiest emperor invited his inevitable doom when his ego superseded his empathy. In order to preserve the balance in creation, he had to be annihilated by Parashurama.
If destroying ego in identity is what sustains creation, why isn't that the end? What is this never-ending cycle of birth and death?
The body is like a dress the self wears in every life, till it gets weary of the dressing and asks, what is it covering? Is the self within a tangible entity with modesty, or a bundle of desires with shame, or a collection of emotions worth a price?
Then, Master, explain unto me, what is the key to freedom from this ceaseless cycle?
Remember the three cities merited by the three gunas of Tripura? They are the three planes of consciousness, the gross, the subtle, and the causal. All fueled by the pond of the vasanas or samskaras acquired during the self-sojourn.
Oh Guruji, isn't there a means to overcome this imprisonment? Is there no panacea to this vicious cycle?
The cure is verily God's grace, my son. Only that constant integrated awareness of the self annihilates all the three levels of consciousness at once. This is the divine dissolution of the Tripurantaka, the redemption of the self from the three illusory cities of existence. Watch now this epic finale of cosmic annihilation of the divided into the absolute.
Valiant sons of Diti, thus far our sovereignty has flourished unchallenged, but for Indra and his feeble force, it seems that they are yet to learn the perils of challenging the might of Asuras, the might forged by grim penance. It almost forced me to see them flee after every onslaught. And yet, it is only prudent that we stay vigilant with Thunmali, for these are no ordinary foes. Why? That Vayavi Vishnu is ever present by their side, and his plans are to be feared. Even a whisker's chance is enough, and they may be victorious.
What is this, Viryavana?
Fear the plans of the gods. Those are mere street pranks before us. Remember, as long as the divine pool gifted to us by Lord Brahma brims with the elixir of life, we are above even death.
Your speech banishes our fears, Vidyunmali. And yet, Viryavana is right. There is no harm to remain prepared. Seeing their repeated uprisings, I sense the need for a solution.
And I have it. Let us grind this revolt. Let us break their spirit by a show of valor, of might.
Surely, we do not lack those. And are you not that peerless Mayasura who single-handedly raised these edifices of awe-striking beauty by sheer will?
Are we not warriors before whom heaven itself shudders? The world quakes. Are we not conquerors, mighty in our force?
One can ride a ripple in a stream, Maya,
But the Asuras today are a tempest, a whirlwind that swallows the unyielding to their inevitable end.
My lords, we come with urgent news.
Speak. What news would permit this interruption?
The Devas, my lord, they come in great numbers, geared for battle.
As moths to the flame. Denizens of Tripura, the time for glory is upon us. Prepare yourselves.
I worry, O sons of Taraka, this doesn't seem to be coincidence. For the moment when Tripura aligns, draws closer.
So what? That is but for an instant. I am certain we can repulse them. And then, Tripura shall part again in a trice. Why are you unnerved with one moment, Mayasura?
I only advocate prudence. We must be alert. I think the Devas are not alone. Perhaps Vishnu or some unknown warrior aids them.
Be that as it may, we will destroy any opposition. Speculation does not befit a warrior on the battlefield. It is time for action, not speech.
Demons of Tripura, hear my words. Your days of rampage will end now. Draw forth and battle if you will.
So the mighty armor the Devas have rummaged is a bull. Mind what you say, Nandi, or the next word you utter will be a plea for your end.
Tarakaksha, know the warrior before you challenge him. Know that he is the trusted lieutenant of Mahadev. An insult to him is an insult hurled at the Lord himself.
Words do not frighten me, Indra. I hope your thunder strikes as hard as your threats do.
O blinded demon, dare not utter such words before the Lord's regent, lest you greet your instant death in the inferno that rages from the third eye.
Finally, the fire god has found his flare at sharp wit. Were the embers doused till now in the humbling defeats that you have faced?
Enough! Vidyun Mali! I challenge you to battle! If there is valor left for action, and not mere vagaries of words, come face the wrath of Rukma in my might, or flee like a craven sinner.
When the hunt itself comes craving to be game, what a glee it is to be the hunter.
If you desire death, O Nandi, why should I deny? Come, greet your end.
Har Har Mahadev! Is it for such triviality that you have disturbed Shankara's Samadhi? O Devas, your faith seems so misplaced, for it fails to strengthen your arms to punish the sinful.
Fear none, O Taityas, for the magical waters of Maya's pond shall revive every time you fall. Face your foes, fight to fall and rise again.
Looks like Nandi is afraid that my renewed arms shall crush him in one blow.
This does not bode well, Nandi. As long as they have those enchanted waters, they know not death. How do we overcome this predicament?
Though I permeate every inch of the creation, Tripura limits my power to be just a whiff of air and nothing more. Else I could have sent a hurricane and turned those wild waters to mere mist.
I too, as the Lord of the Aquas Realm, cannot control those waters, for they are protected by Brahma's womb.
Do not fear, Devas. Narayana and Mahadev both have assured their presence in this war. Remember, divine grace can surpass every hurdle in one's quest for peace.
O Lord, but for you there is no respite.
Fear not, Adityas. As Neelakantha drank the Hala Hala,
I shall empty this pool of revival and render the Asuras mortal again.
Fearsome in his aspect, a thunder cloud of destruction, Shankara entered the fray as Rudra, his every step shaking the hearts of the sons of Taraka. Mahadev had decided to end this evil, the terror that the world had borne for so long.
Behold, Tripura alights to meet its end. O demons, I sense the presence of my lord coming to put an end to your pride once and for all.
Denizens of Tripura, prepare to greet your end in my arrow. Blinded like animals by pride, greed and anger, you roam wild, untamed, trampling on the freedom of others. But your days of tyranny are over. Brahma's boon let you flourish until now, but no more. Tripura shall fall today, and for this act of dissolution, I shall be called Tripurantaka.
Even as the gods watched in awe, Mahadev made the first move in this final act of the drama that had aged 1,000 years. The gods, he had decided, would play their roles.
Namamitam Shankaram Chandrasekharam Neelakandharam Pandavapriyam Kalavairavam Shudranashakam Bhadrakarakam Vishwanatham.
The earth became
Namamitam Shankaram Chandrasekharam Neelakandharam Pandavapriyam Kalavairavam Shudranashakam Bhadrakarakam Vishwanatham.
Sun and the moon, its wheels. Brahma took the reins as a charioteer. Into a bow. And Mahavishnu became the arrow in his play of divine deliverance.
So you see, child, God's grace alone can set you free from the clutches of samskaras that build over lifetimes.
So that's what Mahavishnu's act of emptying the pond conveyed.
Exactly. It's only then that the three levels of your consciousness are exposed to the arrow of awareness to be dissolved by the Creator Himself. And then
you merge with the ultimate reality, a reality where all is but I, and yet the I no longer exists.
Aham nirvikalpo nirakara roopo vibhuvacha sarvatra sarve triyanam nacha sangatam naiva muktir nameyah chidananda roopa shivo shivo chidananda roopa shivo
Shiva Mahishwara, Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahavasaira, Shiva Maheshwara, Shiva Shankara. Shiva Maheshwara, Sai Ram. Shiva Shankara, Shiva Mahadeva, Sai Ram. Maheshwara, Shiva Maheshwara, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram bolo, Govind Naam bolo.
Sai Ram bolo, Govind Naam bolo.
Sai Ram bolo, Govind Naam bolo.
Sai Ram bolo, Govind.
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
राम कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो
साई बोलो
राम कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो
राम कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो
गौराष्ट्र महावीर यीशु 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 साई
साई बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो
साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो
राम कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई बोलो गौराष्ट्र महावीर यीशु साई बोलो
गौराष्ट्र महावीर यीशु साई बोलो
अल्लाह साई बोलो मला साई बोलो
साई बोलो मला साई बोलो
अल्लाह साई बोलो मला साई
साई बोलो
प्रेम साई शांति दाई सत्य साई बोलो
प्रेम साई शांति दाई सत्य साई बोलो
गोविंद बोलो गोपाल 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 बोलो Sai Bolo. Nanda Kelal Murali Gopal.
Narayana, 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 Naray Gurudeva. Narayana Narayana O Satya Narayana 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 O Narayana Narayana O Satya Narayana Narayana O Satya Narayana Narayana O
Jay!